Hello and welcome to Culture Terror. I am DK.
I'm Lewis, and this is our simultaneously most and least FedPosty episode ever.
Hopefully, mostly just least, but
it's both. Like because you know, at the end of the day, we could go into what we're doing.
Abortion terrorism or abortion related. I know they have some kind of phrase for this, right? Or like it's a legal or political category for leftist discourse of like the scary guy who kills. That's what I'm trying to. Maybe not. Maybe there's not a term, but it's definitely. That's why we're discussing it as such is because they have this image in their mind of the white right wing Christian, but you know,
I think it's just domestic terrorists is the category, right? Because lefties don't see themselves as domestic terrorists, right? They literally do. Domestic terrorism.
I would actually put them more in the category of essentially like cadre, right? Rather than terror. I mean, I guess that's maybe part of what there is to discuss, like what even is a terrorist. But
which gets interesting with these, because I guess we jump right into it. So
yeah, let's go.
So Roe v. Wade happened, right? This is an interesting phenomenon in that it does not predate Roe v. Wade. So the whole thing is kind of. So obviously, I think the narrative that everybody knows on Roe v. Wade is that the Civil Rights Act passes, everybody's pissed in the United States because it's like a, you know,
very unpopular. Nobody likes.
It's like 85-90% white country. It sucks. Obviously, you know, and there's a lot of like energy and family values energy and like white mother energy going into, you know, opposing this and opposing its implementation. Right, it's trying to slow roll at the very least. And Roe v. Wade takes all that energy, and pushes it to. Roe v. Wade, which is also, it's a national, you know, it's a court thing. It's not an elected position, so you really can't run against, you can run against it, but you can't do anything against it, really, until, you know, also, you know, what we're talking about in terms of, like, the activism thing. But it's also more immediate if you're religious, and a lot of the, you know, let's call it, like, you know, white safety politics is based around, like, defending your kids' lives, right?
Yes.
And you can... With legalizing like abortion, especially in your anti-abortion state, like, you know, Alabama or whatever, Mississippi, or Texas, you're going to activate a lot of people because like they're going to hear babies dying, and that'll activate them more, and it's a higher priority for them than like possible consequences of integration, you know? And it becomes like it replaces civil rights opposition in the Republican Party, totally. Like Goldwater was a anti-civil rights candidate, right? After Goldwater, even though, you know, probably there's a million problems with Goldwater, you know, we can talk about those, but on a different time, but, you know, he ran against civil rights, right?
Yes.
And he ran from a libertarian cucky way, right? He was already part of the op, and then...
But he was Jewish,
yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah, so, he was running for a libertarian angle on anti-civil rights, which was already bad, but he was running against civil rights. So he was, you know...
Yeah.
And then, with, you know, the Reagan era, abortion replaces...
Anything racial.
Yeah.
Or anything explicitly racial in terms of, GOP
which does
politics.
Cause this phenomenon of terrorism. Because terrorism in, like, New York, I think, pretty early on had legalized abortion, right? It was just certain states. It wasn't even, like, a political issue. They just, certain states had it, certain states that didn't. And there was never really I'm sure there was, like, incidental stuff, but in terms of, like, actual, you know, a sustained campaign of terrorism, like we're going to talk about. There is just no evidence of it. So this kind of thing is wholly like a consequence of a manufactured.
So just to be clear, is your thesis here that the terrorism, the violence directed at the abortion industry was a kind of just an organic outgrowth of popular outrage?
I think it was there was a lot of outrage and it could have gone into, you know, anti-civil rights stuff. Instead, it went to this, and this was just a consequence of that, because the same kinds of people who would be doing racist stuff ended up doing, you know, anti-abortion stuff, which also made them like anti-racist
in
like
certain ways. Yeah. Right.
And you'll see that because a lot of these things are in like the South.
Yes.
I don't know if we could do a stat breakdown, but almost disproportionately, the most effective, or I don't know, for whatever measure of effective, like in terms of killing people. A lot of these people were in the South. We talk about that phenomenon, and also just like broadly how the 90s were, like, people forget that was like a terrorist decade, like the 60s were. Like the 90s had all kind of.
Well, I mean, although it was funny for a minute. What was that stupid movie with Harrison Ford? Air Force One. Do you remember that? Do you know?
I've seen it.
Yeah, where it's Serbian terrorists who like hijack Air Force One, and he's the president, has to beat them up to save. It's like, yeah, I mean, it was Arabs, it was Serbs, it was
South Africans.
Yes, it was. And then
East Germans,
The Richard Jewell thing, the Atlanta Olympics, that was an abortion terrorism thing too, right? Yeah, yes. Exactly. So that was, I guess, the domestic, that and then the Ruby Ridge,
McVeigh
people. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was
a lot of Palestinian terrorism too.
There was Palestinian and Jewish. There was Jewish terrorism in this era. I would say 80s and 90s, because 80s also kind of were the impetus of this, but like where Palestinian and Jewish activists were killing each other in the United States with the help of maybe the FBI on the Jewish side. Like, and I don't, it's not really disputed, I think.
Yeah.
What's that guy that Jew goes on Tucker Carlson this day?
Dov Hikind.
Yeah. Who's like literally, he was literally a Jewish terrorist.
Literally convicted, like, murderer. Or maybe not convicted.
He was
conspirator to the murder or something.
Of a Palestinian activist in like LA or something. With like a bomb. Like, not even like So. This stuff like happened and it was maybe fake, but I think it also like, it does pull into some real feeling, right? Like, you can say, oh well, it was a manufactured issue for the Republican Party to.
That's my question. I mean,
at a certain point, doesn't matter because the reason it worked is because it was real.
I'm inclined to think that it was a product of the same essentially Jewish takeover that happened earlier, in just along a different axis. But then once it became clear that I think. And it makes sense, you know, like as emotional as you're going to be about school integration and things like that, people could and did sort of avoid it, right? Especially in the 1950s, 1960s, how easy, and to the point where even like in Boston, famously, they had these riots over busing and integration and things like that, and they won that fight. But then, you know, so something you could do something about. And also just not necessarily have to deal with all that much, versus like you're literally killing babies in the womb, and there is no recourse because the judicial system at the highest level has said like, no, it doesn't matter what law you pass in your city, in your state, it completely irrelevant. Like, this is by judicial fiat now the law of the entire United States. So, and like, it's easy to see how that would take over.
And it dovetailed, I don't think it's intentional at all, with the evangelical takeover of, like,
oh yeah, absolutely,
conservative culture. And the problem is that like terrorism is this can sound really weird, but work with me here, you're gonna see what I mean. Terrorism is like a Protestant phenomenon.
Say more.
So
that's what I was about to say.
Lone wolf terrorism is a Protestant phenomenon, because there's a lot of stuff about personal duties to God, personal salvation, your personal Jesus, compared to Catholic terrorism. Does exist, right? Exists in Lebanon, exists in Ireland. But it's a very much a collective thing, right?
Like, well, especially in Ireland. Oh, well, both of those places, really. Yeah. Something's almost more of a nationalistic thing.
Yeah, it's a collective identity, whereas abortion terrorism is, even the, we're going to talk about the one organization, I don't know how familiar you are with the Army of God, AOG, which is similar to Zog, and it's initially, which is funny, but it's extremely Protestant in its
composition.
It's
I'm
like,
sure, yeah.
Or not composition, it's hard to tell, because like, they actually have Catholics. So American Catholics get Protestantized through like osmosis and kind of,
yeah,
you know, they'll do like personal, you know, not that like guardian angels aren't a thing, but Protestants are all about your personal Jesus, your personal angels,
right?
You being personally saved,
right? Right.
And
right.
I think that in your personal duties, which include if you are this way, terrorism. A lot of these people also were like criminals,
mm-hmm.
and they viewed it as a level of restitution. Like, I was a petty criminal or a drug addict, I was in jail, I got saved,
yeah.
But now I feel like, but also you're kind of predisposed to a certain amount of violence and law breaking. Now
I could do that for God.
Yeah, and now you keep, yeah, and you know, that's, you know, it's an option, and so I think, and it's also a thing in other Anglo countries. If you look at the Wikipedia,
I have never heard
see things in Canada, New Zealand, Australia. It's a very Protestant phenomenon of this kind of leaderless, decentralized. Because there's never really there was attempts to organize these people into like a more a militant wing,
sure,
but it's they've
you gotta figure, I mean, not, I'm not endorsing any of this,
no,
this is
no,
just
no.
purely kind of like, but trying to look at it neutrally, rationally, objectively, if you got let's say, I don't know, 10, 20 guys, and you just systematically, continuously, whatever, did, you know, arson famously is very, very difficult to prove in a court of law, right? Like, there's things you can do to abortion facilities that would have an impact on their operations, short of, like, killing people, right? That would be more effective, probably, in the aggregate. I mean, again, this is just me kind of, you know, spitballing hypothesis. I mean, noticing a phenomenon. I'm not definitely not encouraging.
Oh, this is one of the things that, like, so there are like causes where terrorism makes sense at a certain point. Like, if you really, so one of the kind of only good response to the good conservative, like the steel man of the anti-abortion argument is, you know, it's a human life. No matter what the consequence of its conception, it's a human life, and it deserves to be, you know, protected as a human life is, right? And, you know, and the liberals really just pretend that they kind of always just sidestep that argument, right? They don't ever really engage with it because they really can't.
Well, that's the clump of cells bit, right?
Yeah, but, like, no one actually believes that at a certain point.
Especially not after sonograms, especially not after they're so wise, right? Everybody literally, it blows my mind. And I have seen some people, like, shift on this from a more libtard direction to a more, you know, anti-abortion direction purely as a result of getting, you know, like they got their wives pregnant or they themselves got pregnant and they see it on the sonogram at 12 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And like, oh shit, that's a very powerful thing. But I mean, I see people for whom that's not true. And I'm just like, you're a monster. I can't even like,
well, here's the thing, that the good response about the liberal, if you're listening to this and want to own a conservative on the pro-life issue, is to say, well, if you really believe it's human life and you're not just saying that to win
to
this
on the libs,
on the libs, why aren't you killing people, right? Because you believe there's like an industrial millions, like a Holocaust every year.
Well, that's where I would respond with what I just said, essentially, is like, well, there are, you know, that's going to cause, like, that may not be the most effective way to pursue that goal.
Yeah, but like, that's a good own, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, at a certain point, like, okay, we can like, oh, this makes a lot of rational sense that you would do this kind of thing. And also, it's the only cause, it's like a perfect storm of like evangelical Protestantism. There, one of the cases that I don't know if we're talking about specifically was a failed arson attack by a woman who had an abortion at that clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this
interesting,
you know, population of unstable people who, like, say you get an abortion, you get saved.
Yeah.
You have an obligation to, you know,
I got to take down the facility where I did this.
Yeah.
Thing.
You know, you know, I got to make amends by doing this. So it's a perfect storm. Also, it's one of the few acts of terrorism that is like effective at the point of production of the good. Like, if you're anti, logging advocate, you can kind of like, it's really hard. You gotta let me, like, I'm gonna go try to destroy logging trucks or whatever. Like, it's very like,
yeah,
or, well, derail,
you can
train
spikes and
you
trees
can do stuff,
stuff,
but
yeah,
like at a certain, there's not like a, the, it's a all at the point of sale, right? So like, if you destroy this building, they can't do it,
right?
Right, and that makes like a certain level of effectiveness that you know, I was always surprised that there wasn't more of it at a certain point, right? And that it did kind of die off. I think it's a lot of that had to do with, would you give a theory why it died off in the 2000s? Because it stopped happening. It stayed culturally. It's like a meme, right?
Yes. But the left, they still do it even now with like the stuff. I mean, obviously one of the reasons why we're doing this episode now is because of this, the decision, this draft that was released in the Supreme Court that hasn't, we'll see what ends up happening with that. But, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I have to assume that the war on terror had something to do with it, but I don't know what exactly. And yet, but in any case, through the entirety of the 2000s into literally just a couple weeks ago, I saw that those kind of talking points floating around in circulating in relation to that Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, and I think it was funny because, as someone who, I am from a family that did a lot of like pro-life activism ever since, like, I can point to pro-life activists that started in 1970 who got gay opt or whatever. They were staunch Republicans. They were pretty, you know, racialist. And then they got strong-armed by.
Okay, so I want to talk about this for a second, the racial angle, because it's a common. And I saw, I mean, not to like call anybody out in particular. And I don't think she's alone in this, but I saw Emily Yukas on Telegram as this was coming out, really grappling with the problem of, like, it's true that blacks get a lot of abortions. Now, I would have to double check. My understanding is that actually, because blacks are such a lower percentage of the population compared to whites, even, you know, they're not growing in large part because of this abortion that they use essentially as birth control. I believe there are still more white babies that are being aborted than black babies just because of the disproportionate amount.
I don't know if that's
I'm not
true.
Sure. I'm not sure. Well, it doesn't really matter either way. I don't think that it, I mean, but it for myself, I mean, I can understand why someone would have reservations about just essentially like lifting, just given the realities of the population structure and what different populations do and so on.
Well, there's also the boiled frog narrative, right? Where people were okay with integration because it was a slow process because there weren't a ton of blacks everywhere.
Right.
And if there were like infinity or 30% of the population was black, South African response in terms of politics.
Probably, yes.
Which is funny because, and I don't want to say that's like where I stand on it because I really don't, against abortion. I don't want abortion illegal because of theoretical apartheid America. I want abortion illegal because it kills babies.
But it's a good point in response.
Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, which are the blackest states by population, the white population votes at higher. There's no but the defection rate of whites to the Democratic Party is much lower.
Sure,
and that's
because of proximity to blacks.
Proximity to a large amount, right? Yeah. Whereas, you get a higher defection rate if you want to call it. Not that like the Republican Party is like the party of whites, but
they're a proxy for white interests. Yeah, everybody kind of gets that. Yeah, no, I don't think. Yeah, I mean, but the meta point you're making, which I think is good and maybe to articulate it a little more clearly for the audience, is like you can't necessarily predict the political salience of any policy decision along those lines. Like, you might think like, oh yeah, well, you know, if you outlawed abortion tomorrow, that you get more blacks, and that would be just bad for us. Well, it's not necessarily that, you know, there's more that goes into it. I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
Yeah. But so this is what the thing about this terrorism trend I want to talk about is because it was so big and it was arguably effective, but it had bad ramifications on the policy. Like, so in the year 2000, this stuff all stopped, right? People stopped doing this. They got the message that it wasn't effective. And then
you're going to get Waco'd or whatever, Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, you're going to Waco'd. They started catching guys. The FBI kind of had to get off its ass. The FBI is like historically ineffective at anything. They frame people. Sometimes they frame people who are guilty. It's quite common. They will legit frame up mobsters or gay op mobsters, which is, you know, arguably their job. But they caught Uncle Ted. They caught, what's the Atlanta bombers?
I forget the actual guy.
Like, they
name.
Were actually catching these guys. They were doing, like, good police work and finding these guys in their cabins with their bomb-making tools, you know?
Right.
So, you know, there's a, so it stopped being, I think, it stopped being a thing you could get away with. There's actually very few of these were unsolved crimes. At least some were unsolved for a couple years, which I think, but once they started getting solved consistently, it stopped. And it became a what's funny, so all the Reagan appointees were pretty, except for Scalia and Thomas, were pretty ambivalent on abortion and became like the defectors. But it became because it was the proxy for racial identity, it became a proxy, like a shit test for every Republican Supreme Court justice. I think this is that you've actually seen like where like peaceful, just being a intransigent minority,
right,
really does help.
Yeah,
and eventually you will win. And because like pro-life Republicans were a minority in like the Bush, II era, there were a lot of pro-choice Schwarzenegger. Yeah. All these, there were a lot of high-profile Rockefellers.
I was going to say the Rockefeller Republican thing was, I think, they were nowhere. That wing of the party was nowhere more dominant, even after it kind of died out elsewhere, than in abortion politics.
Yeah.
I think that was the kind of the real continuity
and,
of the Rockefeller wing.
The hardliners on abortion are so hardline that it used to be in a purple state that you would run a pro-choice Democrat or Republican, right?
Yeah.
Now you run a pro-life Democrat, yeah, right? That's a big deal. The governor of Louisiana is a pro-life Democrat. Louisiana votes that. Like, I think, and he got split ticket votes, like, because people would vote.
All these white people you were talking about a minute ago, like, they voted for. I guess he's pro life, right?
It's pro life. I think he was nominally pro gun, but, that's pretty common that they'll run a pro life or pro gun Democrat to win a purple state because there's an intransigent minority, which, kind of hilariously, I think will actually plays politics in a way that conservatives normally don't. Like, because these people also get reelected, right? They get reelected if they keep their promises.
Right.
And that's a big deal. Like, they're, because I think people behave, I think what Mike said, that the conservatives will play like leftists on abortion and guns and nothing else. And that's, you know, they kind of do. Like, you see it. There's a very much a "what have you done for me lately" kind of thing with the abortion people. They're always asking for more. They're really hard to gay up, I think, because I think I think this was a legit phenomenon, but they're really hard to gay up, and they're always kind of paranoid about, you know, hidden mics and all kind of stuff, because they were doing that to the opponent, right? They were doing Project Veritas stuff, and
right.
And they were also doing, like, protests outside of, and, you know, they also changed their tactics. If you read about these cases, and there's now an infant, yeah,
everybody can hear the,
yeah, I'm sure everybody can hear
the delicious, yes,
yeah, a certain amount of irony and
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
ironically disrupting us, you know.
That's right.
But they started doing things like leftists do, where they just cause inconveniences. They just pick it outside. They sit in. They walk inside, pretending to get abortion, and they like throw paint everywhere, like. The radicals didn't stop doing this stuff. They just stopped, like, killing people, if that makes a certain sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they're still... I mean, I know that abortion clinics still have...
security, armed security.
Yeah, all the time. And they take it very seriously. And well, that's what I was going to say is, like...
There's special laws in certain states that you can't protest outside of abortion clinics within a certain
radius or whatever. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. That imposes costs on them. Like, I mean, you... And maybe there's a counter-argument, like, well, ultimately those costs get... passed on to the taxpayer. It's like, okay, but they don't have to be, and regardless,
and like, also the good,
yeah, like, yeah, right, yeah. Like, you're sort of like, the point is you're making their lives difficult, and you know, it's not, again, you, I don't want to walk, it's just, it's an objective fact. You can draw a causal connection and just see objective reality is that this criminal behavior of these criminals that I'm definitely not endorsing leads to, you know, it creates effects, right?
And it also arguably created a... So the right wing is terrified of having a bad cop, right? They're just
well, right. I mean, we are the right wing bad cop.
Yeah,
right?
but
any right wing bad cop is us.
But that's not how you play. Like they are, like, the Republican Party exists to shut us out.
Yeah,
the pro life movement didn't
get the memo.
They just refused to, like, refused. Yeah. They would do the, like, Muslim bit where we condemn all violence, but, you know, you got to understand where he's coming from,
right?
And you know, I find it personally. You say, like, usually see things like, I find it, you know, personally heroic, but, you know, there's things like that.
People,
like,
said, wow, that's pretty Fed posty.
Yeah, but, like, you know, whatever, you can, whatever, you can call somebody, you can't go to jail calling somebody a hero, even if they're,
sure,
you know. Right. And also they were, you know, more radical at the time too.
Yeah, that's funny.
But do you want to talk about like some of these, so we watched that, there's that clip from the HBO
documentary. Yeah, well, I'll put a link in the show notes,
but it's basically one of these cases where it's a very interesting guy. He looks very Chad.
Yeah, I was struck by his physiognomy. He was not.
They had to put really dark music behind everything he said. Like, very.
Otherwise, it would be rad as fuck.
Yeah, because he's like, I really couldn't live with myself. So I took my wife and kids out for one last, like, family outing to the beach in Pensacola. Which, this was, again, in the South. And then, you know.
Yeah, Florida Panhandle. You talk about, what is it, Mississippi,
Alabama,
Louisiana. I mean, that's pretty much the same area, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not. You know, South Florida is a different thing. Panhandle Florida is.
Yeah. But yeah, it's extremely, you know, evangelical and Baptist and Protestant. And like, you know, I think Catholics, as a Catholic, will be like, if I said Jesus talked to me as a Catholic, you'd get some funny looks. It's not, like, unheard of.
Sure.
But
yeah,
you'll get funny looks. Whereas that's, like, part of the tradition of evangelical processes is Jesus came and talked to me and saved me. Like, you know,
there's a book I read called When God Talks Back, and it's specifically about, like, and I remember one of the it's essentially an, I don't know, ethnographic or anthropological study of this phenomenon in Protestant congregations. And yeah, one of the study subjects was just like, yeah, I just like to go to the park bench and talk to God, and I just, you know, like, have conversations, like,
and
okay,
and also, you know, applies to a certain amount of, like, well, God told me to.
Right.
Do this abortion, you know, shoot the abortion doctor. And if you told, like, your wife that, right, in theory, she really, you know, depending on how devout she is, she'd probably be like, okay, well, I mean, if God told you, you know, it'd be wrong not to at a certain point, you know, you're kind of obligated, you know. And that's a serious, like, that's a level of religiosity that I think, you know, liberals are like, oh, the American Taliban or Al-Qaeda. And, like, it's not wrong. It's, like, it's a certain level of, it's of just not, it's not even radicalism, it's just having a religious worldview that you believe this is the world you live in.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not radical per se to
in
them,
a
right?
In a sense, it's a kind of moral confidence or just confidence,
yes,
in your conviction.
Which I, once again, is like conservative historically have no, like the broad conservative movement has absolutely right. no moral confidence and is notorious for not having any, like, it's hard to imagine a cuckier, like what is it, like neoconservatism was advocating like the invasion of Middle Eastern countries for women's rights, which is like
they still are.
Yeah,
they
but it's like
it never stopped.
But like, if you can't like,
yeah, if you can't even say,
if
like,
you can't
right.
express your imperial ambitions by saying like we are an empire at a certain point, like what are you even doing?
And the left had, in a way, had a better critique when they, not that it was, you know, the No Blood for Oil was always retarded, because not like, I mean, they would point the finger at Dick Cheney and the Halliburton Corporation, but at least that's sort of putting it in imperial terms.
Yeah,
right. Like there's a certain, like, they're kind of edging around the yeah. the point.
What does it say? What you want of the United Fruit Company? But at least it's an ethos, right?
Exactly. Yes. Like, yeah. Yeah, we're doing bananas and terrorism.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're sending the Marines to protect the to Honduras. It's to protect the American bananas. You know, yeah. It's like at a certain point, I that makes a certain amount of sense to a voter.
You can understand why. Yeah, if you just put it like, hey, look, do you want cheap bananas? It's like, yeah. Well, you know, and well, this
you can't grow these in Florida. I'm sorry. Right. Okay, it's all right then. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, that moral, it's moral confidence, which conservatives also have on guns.
Yeah, well, for the most part. Yeah, yeah, there are, like, there is,
well, the there's like Rockefeller pro-choice
exactly.
didn't, right?
Right.
But also guns are also the same thing, where like before the Civil Rights Act, it was quite common for Republicans to be pro-gun control. Nixon, famously, when he was governor of California, and a couple other Republicans did it, the Saturday Night Special Acts. Have you ever heard of these?
No.
So they set minimum standards for prices, sometimes just of handguns, sometimes for guns generally. So like a minimum price act and a minimum or max or a minimum melting point. So like if you have to be
you can't buy a cheap,
you have to be made of a certain high-end metal. So a pot metal, you know, Saturday Night Special. I think the price then was like a $45 floor. And now instead of a, it's like, I think it was, I don't know what the temperature was, but it was like $45 was the minimum you could sell a gun for in California. And that was explicitly to, like, for racial reasons, right? Like,
yeah.
No, like, white guys are going to buy a Smith & Wesson 38.
Right.
Whereas certain demographics can
whatever
buy
the equivalent of a, what is it, the,
yeah, high point.
High point, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they made those in, but maybe they did, I don't
Ivar know. Johnson, I don't know, like, there's like all these, ye olde gun names are always hilarious. And I think it was a similar deal. I think that's why, like, this is probably pulling the same people as the militia movement, right? Like, if you're a radical guy in the 90s, you can become a David Duke fan, you can bomb an abortion clinic, or you can join a militia. That's a certain
no, absolutely.
And at a certain point,
these are not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Yeah, right. And especially, and you did see things like David Duke became popular with Catholics.
Yeah.
Which you saw, because these groups did kind of hang out, you know, to a certain extent. And you saw, which is also, I think, why the right wing now is in a position as, like, the radical right, is that we're not caught up in that way. Like, if you're a trad cat, you probably hate Jews, you know?
Right. Like, you Michael Jones tier kind
yeah,
of thing.
They
yeah,
they all, right. And then, right, I'm not that Michael Jones didn't talk to those guys back then, too. But, like, now it's much more accepted and open, and that's kind of, I think, why I think they're running scared, is that people are have gotten over those, like, single issue right wingism, if that makes sense. Like,
guns and abortion being the two big ones.
Yeah. Like, guys are like
it's kind of funny in the context of this. It's funny, like, the convergence of these things being the phenomenon under discussion.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, that's why I talk about these things. But it is also interesting, because, like, I think guys, the right wing is, like, kind of obsessed with, like, revolution and terrorism. It always has been since post Reagan, I guess. And it is true that the most successful right wing things have been totally not, like, nonviolent, like the assault weapons ban being overturned by or lapsed under Bush. It wasn't renewed under Bush Jr. And then this, presumably overturning Roe v. Wade, they were totally achieved through, like, the system, like a certain amount of lobbying and being an entrenched minority. And And if you want to say it's a dirty word, but I think we got to confront that, like, they infiltrated the GOP, right? Like, they literally
Well, but they also were never anti-Semitic, and it was, you know, only ever like the both gun and abortion discourse, to varying degrees or in different ways, became
pro-black and
pro-Jewish. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's about like what's good for black people, what's good for Jews, what's good for, you know, minorities, what's, you know, and you defend yourself against, I mean, there's a certain amount of, yes, you defend yourself against black criminals, but all, like, who needs the, it's black people who need the defense because they're the ones, and it's not, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unfortunate nevertheless.
Yeah. You could make it, there was a hilarious, this is like 2015 posting. There was a really funny that I didn't even think was funny at the time. I was like, that's an interesting idea. But now I realize it's fucking hilarious. Is there was a movement, I think it was like Houston or Dallas, one of these Texas, you know, big cities that's very black and just happening in Texas. It was a libertarian project where they were going to give women long guns, specifically shotguns, to like defend themselves against, to sort of help fight urban crime. And it became this like thing where any woman over, I think it's like, I'm sure it was like 25, could pass a, it was supposed to be for like single mothers, you know, to defend themselves in theory against like predatory baby daddies or whatever, or just neighborhood people. But it was ended up doing like, they had to break a lot of the libertarian priors because they would only give it to women who could pass a background check and at a certain point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure crime rates are lower for women in general, but
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I'd be also like, oh, you know, you don't see this with, there was never any weirdo. I guess they kind of siloed their weirdos pretty well for the abortion thing, because they never really started any kind of comparable, like, I don't know what it would be, like a pilot program to ban abortion or give people money not to have abortions. They kind of just like focused on just winning the fight. Like libertarian gun people will do weird stuff like that, right? But conservative or anti-abortion people just, and the only thing they did that was a little bit weird but made a lot of sense, makes a lot of sense, is they had like the crisis pregnancy centers.
Yes.
Which were accused of, and probably did, like they would use the same branding as abortion clinics, right?
To confuse people deliberately? Well, good.
Well, that's the thing. It was argued that like people were going to like the family wellness clinic, sure, or planning clinic, and it was, oh, it's full of like religious ladies who are going to talk you out of it. And like offer you adoption services and stuff like that, which was considered like, oh, this is an evil, subversive thing. But that's only
we demand dead babies. That's not acceptable. Well, there's the a baby thing that is, could survive. No,
the
that,
only
you can't
way,
have that.
Way they could pull off this family resource center thing was because abortion clinics were disguising their fucking, you know, branding with like family planning,
right,
resource center, you know, like,
right,
so they basically just like played in a year, like they were soft peddling abortion, you know, on their branding, so like, oh, we can soft pedal our thing and sound like your thing, and you know, I think, and that probably did save a lot of, you know,
yeah,
people, because especially what's funny, always been the thing, is like the demographic that gets the most abortions is not the demographic that is pro abortion activists,
right,
and they're also people you can generally kind of tug on those religious priors, like, are you really going to do this, you know, are you really going to get a poor white woman or Hispanic woman is going to be like easier to convince about, like, or even a poor black woman is like, well, you know, Jesus doesn't like this. Like, why are you doing this? And you can, you know, and it is like a kind of a, how would you call it? Like a kind of a decision that's kind of impulsive to get an abortion. It's like, it seems like there's a certain kind of person who just gets pressured to do it.
Well,
once.
It's a low time preference kind of person kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, you can sort of
talk somebody out of it. And also the, probably that kind of activism, the activism of the right forced the pushed in judges that would slowly erode abortion, like piece by piece. Like, oh, you only do it like it went up when Roe v. Wade passed. It was like, I don't know, 24 weeks or like 36 weeks. There's some level of thing in it, but states began to like break Roe with their regulations on abortion. You know,
well, that's minimum. The case that's going to lead to the overturn if it happens is exactly that kind of thing where it's like, well, we regulate within X number of weeks. Kind of thing, right?
Is it?
That's my understanding. Yeah, I believe it's the, what is it? It's Dobbs is the name of the thing and the case, and I believe it's a suit that was brought against Texas for this law.
It's
that
like 8 weeks.
It's quite early
enough
in the
that
process,
you might not know you're pregnant. Yeah,
I think it was 12, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I mean, it might, whatever it is. That's
the heartbeat bill, right? Yeah, And they're always,
there's a bunch of so-called heartbeat bills. This was, I guess, you could put it in that general category, but
well, also that's like really good like branding of a bill, or like
No, it's
like,
great.
They played it like leftists. Stopped doing terrorism, but they didn't like ever like the threat of terrorism was always kind of
way overblown. No, I mean,
but it was always in the background because of that, right? Like because you made it a thing, you do impart like a certain amount of bad cop where hey, well. Maybe this stops if you give us what we want, right?
It's like, what is it, like a protection racket almost.
Yeah,
like,
being perceived as dangerous has benefits, especially if you don't overplay it, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's like there's explicit threats, there's implicit threats, there's threats that may not even necessarily be
or threats
implicit.
Your enemy makes up in their head and on their TV shows that you don't counter-signal, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I do want to talk about the one attempt to organize these things.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
So there was I think it seems like it's just one guy or whatever, or anyway. So in the 90s, a group of three men that identified themselves as the Army of God kidnapped, I think abortion doctor and his girlfriend or some like clinic worker for like 8 days and released them, and then went and did something similar somewhere else. And I don't know if they were ever actually caught. Uh-huh. Because they're always identified as three men. I don't know if they were actually... They might have been later apprehended.
Who knows? Yeah, right.
But there's this one guy who made like essentially a website for it. Like, oh, they called them... It's hard to tell if he did this first or they did it first or he knew them at all. But it's extremely FedPosty, but it's this group of... He basically made this manual called the Army of God Manual about like justifications for why you should do this. It almost speaks like Fed shit because he identifies as terrorists and says, like, don't hide from it. That's what we're doing. Which is...
Yeah, that's Fed stuff.
But he also had, like, actual guides on how to, like, different levels of... It was almost too well... It was also too early to be Fed stuff in a lot of ways.
Right.
Where he had, like, escalation levels of arson attacks, bombing attacks, shootings, acid attacks. Just, you know, fucking with their cars, like... And he started a website... And he also, but here's why I think it's not Fed shit. And this is the strongest thing was you do not talk about these actions you're going to do. You you never communicate with anybody, not even me. Don't tell anybody you're going to do this until you do it, which is like not Fed stuff, like, right? Like,
no, very much no, not at all. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like,
he's just like, what? I don't even know how to categorize. Yeah. But
he never, like, it's funny because, like, I think pretty good. At some point, they were censored by like the ISPs or whatever. And they started republishing it as a historical document of themselves. Like, oh, is it, you know.
We're the Society for the Historical Preservation of this manual.
Yeah. The main guy never got... He probably... Had he been a white nationalist, maybe he might have. You kind of see these connections. But, like, he was never hit for conspiracy because he never did anything with any individual personnel.
He said, I don't know anything. Don't talk to me.
Don't fucking tell me. You know?
Clever. Well, like the Texas law itself is clever. I don't know if you're familiar with the mechanics of it, but it's basically like, it's not a ban exact. It's not a, it empowers individuals to get civil damages from abortion providers and seekers. So it's a very clever legal trap that they've set. And libs were butthurt when it passed because they're like, they instantly saw like, well, the problem is there's nothing at any level of jurisprudence that, because they didn't ban, they didn't like do anything.
Yeah.
Like it's not, and it's not the government that's going after anyone. It's private individual citizens
who are motivated as hell,
right?
And don't care if they lose a million cases.
Exactly. But then there's the threat of, and then it's not jail time is a threat. It's like I think $10,000 a pop.
What's the irony is that this is how they fought off, like protesters outside of that was one of the things. Like they did lawfare where if you come in this bubble of protection with these clinics, you can get hit with.
Intimidation,
blah, extortion, blah, blah, blah. Terrorism charges.
Yeah.
And, you know, counterpoint, you know, this, you know, like.
Right. Yeah. No, well, they were extremely ass mad when, because they saw that there was really no legal strategy against it because it was just so well crafted that that it was going to have to immediately, which is what ended up happening, go to the Supreme Court to kind of have them sort it out. And it looks, I mean, again, this draft opinion.
It'd be really fun if we got tort reform out of this. That's the one thing. Like, if you were to say the one thing that could actually pass like a certain level of tort reform,
country, it'd be like, no, you can't actually collect these damages. Yet.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It's funny because you talk about like there's always a population of people willing to be radicalized.
Yeah,
some of these people were like petty criminals, But there are people who like get messed up by abortions or their abortions, or they hear about,
or their family member or something. Yeah.
Like I know, I have at least three guys I know who like found out later in life that a girlfriend had an abortion, and it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Or a miscarriage even, but let's mess you up. But like, so there's guys, it'll mess you up, and like you kind of end up carrying this guilt or
whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. And it makes a, you know, easily radicalizable population, you know, who want to be.
So you, sorry, but did you have more on the attempt to organize? Because I realized I didn't want to lose that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, okay. So the Army of God, you know, it's very, you know, it is like the meme of the organized, leaderless, decentralized resistance, which makes it, I think, a lot more serious.
Do they still exist? Or
It's a website, dude. It's a manual. It's a manual.
It's like, a manual.
It's like calling the Anarchist Cookbook a.
Sure. That was the thing that came to mind. Like, this sounds a lot more like the Anarchist Cookbook.
They do is claim people. Some people will say, okay, when they get caught, I was a part of this, or okay.
So it's like ISIS or whatever.
Yeah, it's a certain level of like very decentralized, to where like the guy who runs it can't ever get. I don't know if he's still around. It was a while. He might be dead by this point. He was like old when he in the 90s. It's like in his 50s. But yeah, so this was like the only attempt to like marshal these people, and also because they self-identified as terrorists, they didn't ever shy away from like, you know, picking somebody up and saying he was one of us who did XYZ thing. I think the Olympics bomber was one of those people who got, you know,
I see,
retroactively signed on. And they keep that thing very non-denominational, right? The Army of God, but they don't like,
yeah,
they,
right.
Yeah. It was very smart about like,
not the Second Baptist Church.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really only in all the abortion violence cases, only one I saw was identified as Catholic.
Mm.
And it wasn't even a murder. It was, a priest, a Benedictine monk, actually, or a priest, stormed an abortion clinic again, like the second time, and was doing the leftist thing where you just throw red paint everywhere,
mm-hmm,
and be a fucking nuisance and just.
Well, that caught, again, takes time and money out of their day. Yeah,
and he shoved a nurse who like broke a rib, or something.
Attempted murder.
No, they did. they argued, maybe it really happened. Like she had a fracture in a vertebrae in her back from like falling to the ground, and he did like 6 years.
Man,
but what, like at a certain point, like he's a political prisoner, and
yeah.
Also, I think the reason like you didn't see the glorification of it, except for that one HBO thing. Like these guys really did get kind of hushed up; they didn't really get glorified.
I was gonna say you'll see there, if you look for the stories, you'll find a trickle, but it's not, they don't make a deal out of it.
Yeah,
it's not,
because
it's not
I think they really are afraid of a wave of this stuff, yeah. Copycats, you know.
Well, it's also, if you think about it, like, how are you going to shut down immigration, for example? I mean, we're also speaking now in the wake of this, which kind of already disappeared from the headlines, so
yeah.
I guess that goes to show you, but this this thing in Buffalo. But it's like, okay, well, you know, that thing is, like, your action there, in addition to being counterproductive and stupid in all sorts of ways, is just not doing anything about the problem that you're claiming that you're concerned about. Versus, like, again, just as a neutral objective fact, if you go around even just, yeah, throwing red paint everywhere in an abortion clinic, like, that's going to... Yeah. Mess stuff up.
That's why leftists do it. So, you know, you throw red paint everywhere, and it, you know, it gets everywhere. It's, you have to clean it. Also, it's optically, oh, it's the blood on your hands, you know. And also, there's like precedent also, which is very smart, because like leftists have thrown red paint on like women wearing fur and stupid, like retarded shit, and politicians forever, and they always get like, you know, a month in jail, suspended sentence or whatever, you know. So you can look like a martyr if you get, like, this guy got, yeah, they made some argument like, oh, he hurt this lady for real. And this Benedictine got 6 years or whatever it was for like an assault charge or a battery charge, but you still can like, you can look like a, you know, a hero. You're playing within the system. That's kind of the theme of this, is that like it is possible to get wins playing within the system. Whether that is for us, you know, I think it remains to be seen, because we have other, you know, bigger critiques than like just these single issue stuff. But like, it's very possible. It's example of a very intransigent minority getting wins. Consistently, pretty much, actually, like they were as soon as what happened, like the slow erosion of Roe.
Yeah, began. Well, that was what I was about to say is probably the '90s were also the high point of the abortion rights movement in terms of unrestricted access to abortion. Since George W. Bush did a few things to start curtailing it, and then there were a bunch of actions at the state level, and to the point now where in just in the past couple of years, I know several states, I don't know how many, but I know there are some that essentially have
provisions in their state constitutions that the second Roe is overturned, abortion is basically illegal. And that was and that was won. Those fights were won at in individual state legislatures,
and also
over the past 20 years,
and also referendums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of states are more democratic than the system is much more democratic at the state level. Like, there's a lot more democracy going on in the states, right? Which means that that's one of the things I would say. Oh, well, like certain X amount of people, you know, polling, that was make up polling. Oh, certain amount of people polled support Roe v. Wade. You know, even Republicans are one of the things, like, so there's some poll that they're flogging that's like, oh, 60% of Republicans support Roe v. Wade, but then why are all these states, why did all these states do this, right? Because you can push polls however you want, and I think a lot of, you know, Trump is probably the example of this, but like a lot of the technocracy's power is pushing polls and pushing, like, you know, what is it, what do they call it, manufacturing consensus on issues, and when you actually put things to vote, you can upset that consensus pretty massively.
Absolutely. Well, it reminds me of the situation in Ukraine where, you know, the ghost of Kiev and the Snake Island surrender and blah, 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 all this stuff. And it's just, I mean, they have all, you know, and CNN,
things were falling because we're interested, but no one's following that stuff anymore.
Yeah, that too.
Right? Like, you talk, normies are totally unaware.
They're out of it. Yeah. Well, they just see, like, occasionally a headline like, oh, you know, stalemate, Ukraine defending and stuff. It's like, meanwhile, you know, the Russians are just, you know, I mean, they're not, they haven't had setbacks. But it's been a very interesting process seeing the consensus manufacturing operation just working at full steam while the facts on the basically with no relation to facts on the ground, or the most tenuous at best.
I was talking to a journalist who's like a you know, someone I know who's a journalist about like Ukraine, because she's like the most you know, normie media, but like liberal because for those reasons. I asked her about Ukraine, like, oh, well, what do you think all this Ukraine propaganda? And I saw like all these, you know, wins that Ukraine had claimed to have stacked up, and she had no idea what I was talking about.
She thought this was a journalist?
Yes. She thought I was referring to, because the current propaganda that I think the plugged-in libs are getting is just piles of dead Ukrainians. Which is...
Wait, piles of dead Ukrainians?
Yes, like Russians...
That's the propaganda that they're getting.
Russia's killing civilians.
Why would they... Oh, civilians.
Well, they're claiming civilians. It doesn't matter what they... Like, gotcha. What is
right. What's a civilian?
What's a civilian in this... Also, like, with certain actions the Kiev government did.
Yeah.
But
handing out AK-47s or whatever. I don't know what they.
Yeah. So, that's the propaganda that they're getting. I think we are plugged into a level of like higher propaganda,
definitely.
Which is also like, you know, especially how meaningless it kind of is. Is like, what do you convince me that like the Ukrainians are good? Like, would you? How many people actually like of the people who are politically engaged, which is a minority anyway? How many are engaged with this issue, which is a minority of that, versus our, you know.
I don't know. I've seen Ukraine flags start popping up in libtard enclaves.
Really?
You know, I've seen it. I don't know, like, you know, how... I don't know how... it's the same people that did the Black Lives Matter flags and the tranny pride flags and shit. So, you know, so it's like, at a certain level, it's just the current thing.
Yeah.
But it is the current thing for the set.
That's, so, I was at a... I live near a current
thing
zone.
Didn't mean to change topics.
No, I agree. But yeah. I live near a current thing zone.
Okay.
And I saw a Ukrainian petition, like petitioning set up.
Really?
Yeah, which is a very current thing. It was the only thing I'd seen.
Petition
was,
to do what?
Against the war, whatever.
Against the
war? Or against the invasion, whatever. It was Ukrainian flags. Support.
But what are they, but support, and what, like, what are they, what are you petitioning? Whom are you petitioning to do what?
I assume the U.S. government, but it was just like, support Ukraine, sign this thing.
They are. I mean, that's, whatever.
Let's not analyze them, right?
Sorry. Go on.
Let's analyze, you know.
I'm just like, we're sending them billions, tens of billions of dollars.
And they asked me, hey, can you sign it? And I said, like, just basically, oh, I'm against the war. Or I'm against us getting involved. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And what about my way? And then I walked past it on, like, you know, the way back to where I was coming from. And I heard them talking to them, like, you know, internally. They were all actually Ukrainian. They weren't actually, like, I assumed they were shitlips, because also, like,
they're
like,
they were just Ukrainian.
They were just like Ukraine, which, all right, that makes a certain amount of,
I can
of,
understand
baseline
why,
sense then, yeah. Yeah, I didn't, my you know, my shit libs didn't seem to be, like, they'll say it's bad, but I didn't see, like,
local shit libs in my general area.
Yeah, my shit libs don't seem to be
like
too
my, bad. My squirrels, you know, the squirrels in my area.
My boomers, my shit libs.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but in any case, yeah, no, the consent manufacturer is interesting to observe, and definitely, well, that's the thing, I think, is the, and I'll speak from personal experience here too. That was when I was never a shitlib. I've talked about this, I think, before. I was more kind of in an anarcho-syndicalist kind of kind of headspace. Where that started changing, or when that started changing into explicitly right-wing ideology, was abortion was one of the first things. And I don't think I know I'm not alone in that you know it's often the first kind of set of priors. And not that I was like pro, you know, I was like super, but I was just sort of, I accepted what I understood to be the, you know, educated societal consensus about like just, and then, but then I also had just never really thought about it all that much before.
Yeah, because they never give you a good counter argument, which is one of the that's one of the kind of things why it's such a weak issue. It's also because, like, the left has played it very poorly, where they give you it's about women, when, like, the argument, yeah, like, no one on the left, there's not a single conservative you can find saying it's about women, like, at all. Women are, like, almost incidental to the debate in a lot of ways. They're kind of only used, actually, as props when there's, like, women who are pro-life. I'm a woman, I'm pro-life.
Yeah.
But, like, the issue is, like, babies, and that's, like, a much more convincing thing, and they don't ever respond to the point of, like, babies, right? They always respond to...
But women.
Like... And but like in the hierarchy of even women, like women will say babies beat women in like the
right
hierarchy.
Well, everybody kind of understands that and understands why that is, which again I think it speaks to a more general phenomenon of the left, whatever you want. I don't know if left and right at a certain point stop, but maybe it's relevant. I don't know, but whatever. Let's call it the left being motivated by a. I'm trying to think how to phrase this. The babies, like everybody understands why babies are valuable, or you should be able to understand. It's not something that necessarily shouldn't need like explanation of, you know, like reproduction is good. You want society to continue. There's a kind of baseline things, but leftists, I do see this essentially as being bound up with Judaism, because they've sort of separated out. If you totally drop all priors or certain kinds of priors, but foundational priors, I can see how, and I, because I see it in real life, how people work themselves into a kind of mental pretzel of reproduction is, you know, take it or leave it, and society doesn't need to continue, and who cares about...
Yeah, well, it's funny, because you get this, the liberal reconstruction of, like, pro-abortion arguments is really bizarre, because they rely on a certain level of moral confidence with their, and, like, idealism in the West, whereas if you consider that to, like, compare that to, say, like, the Soviet Union, where they didn't require any kind of idealism, or they did, but, like, they were pure, in a purely
materialistic
sense,
yeah.
You can ban, you can make, legalize abortion, right. And, like, abortion is, like, arguably what destroyed the Soviet Union to a certain extent, because they had, like, a 60%. Pregnancy termination.
Whoa,
rate.
I didn't know
it was,
that.
It was 40 years. It was insane.
That's
like,
crazy.
To the point of like causing demographic decline and, you know, they couldn't compete.
And then like economic decline. Sure.
But you can, it's easier to make a materialist, but like Western shit liberty is.
Right. Well, there's no, yeah. If it becomes, that's the funny thing is they're constantly pushing in a materialistic direction, but that just you can't do materialism and human rights. Like it just doesn't make any kind of sense.
You becomes National Socialism pretty quickly. Like it's like, at a certain point when you do like, well, every human has value, but like, well, what if there's like a sliding scale of value, right? Because you do bring in like, if you're trying to talk about abortion, like, well, what if some human life has more value than others? Like, well, does your family have more value? Like, well, yeah. Well, does your extended family have more value? Like, well, what's an extended family at a certain point? It's like, right. Oh, and now you're...
And now we're in, now we're
doing National Socialism. And then you're like, well, then I can't ban abortion because they're part of my extended family. Like, you can't. It's very difficult to argue yourself into a human rights abortion perspective that doesn't at some point become like, at some level, like a nationalist or idealist in a way that will lead you in a way that people won't like, right? I think there's a similar thing with, I think, guns, is people are also like, I think gun rights advocates are worse than abortion advocates because they're not quite, they don't have quite the kill shot of the babies thing, right?
Yeah, what's the, yeah, exactly, there's no equivalent.
But there's also the unspoken thing that everybody's a hypocrite on guns. Almost, there's very few like principled anti-gun people. A lot of, most of the anti-gun people like buy guns when it gets,
or they just have armed security guards around them 24/7.
There's a certain level of I have a gig community or I you know, and people who are against guns tend to be, you know, either often own them themselves. I did work on a shitlib's house in a major city once, just helping with carpentry stuff friend of their family, and we were talking about, you know, he's very lefty, very lib. He's talking about, guns just came up naturally. He's like, oh, well, I live in this major city, dude. Like, I have a shotgun. Like,
I mean, major cities means, you know,
major cities. And it was funny because he was doing a construction project.
I don't live in the best school zone.
Yeah, yeah.
If I lived in a better school zone, then maybe I wouldn't.
He had this really like high end, well-bred, like super well-bred dog, like one of the super rare dogs with all that, some kind of like Siberian thingy with a ton of fur and just massive. And I was like, oh, you have a giant dog and a shotgun, like I can, and you live in the neighborhood. Like, oh, cool. And it was funny because he would, because as you do construction projects, this is like a little secret for the hyper urbanites. You break things down, and there's also like raw materials that you find.
Sure.
And you can get people to come and haul them away.
Yeah.
And people who like search for raw materials online tend to be from like rural areas. And this like, you know, rural light in his, you know, ratty t-shirt in his truck rolled up to pick up these raw materials. And he was in major city zone, and he had a 1911 on his hip. And he, you know, was ditched to business, and then he left. He was like, oh, what a crazy guy bringing a gun down here. Motherfucker! Your gun upstairs is, like, different in this context? Because, you know, he...
Yeah, it's more effective than his.
Yeah, at a certain point, yeah, he, you know...
it's more suited to the task.
Yeah, and there's deep gun hypocrisy in America, which I think was why it's hard to ban guns in America because of the consistent.
Well, yeah, ultimately it's because of the number of essentially Democrat voters who
don't care
or own guns and don't want the government to take them away. Essentially,
the old Bernie Sanders thing, where before he was a presidential candidate, he was a pro-gun socialist, which is like also based. You know, Jack London posting. I've been Jack London posting on the post account a little bit, but you know that's true. And I think it all comes to like levels of moral confidence, right?
Mm.
I think politics is actually, especially in like this weird system we have where it's not actually like democratic. There's no referendums. It's all like, you know, levels of abstraction and indirect democracy, that like being the more moral confidence you have plays out more, even more than your numbers in a lot of ways.
Well, certainly it speaks to your ability to get your message out there, which ends up being the most important thing. I was thinking about this in another context, but it's related. It was just essentially, how do we take power? And where I am with it currently is, I think we have to, like, the thing is, mass communication technology, the internet, for all of the problems with deplatforming and financial attacks and this kind of stuff, At the end of the day, while there are things that they can do and are doing to throttle you and throttle us, those are kind of solvable technical problems. I think really what it comes down to is having the best message and having a good enough delivery system to get it out there. And because I think you see this with the abortion debate, is the argument just wins. And despite all of the, you know, stranglehold that they had on the federal political process and the media and all this kind of stuff, at the end of the day, you just, all those sonograms and the people with the placards with the sonograms outside.
In 2012, Fox News hosts were majority pro-choice.
Yeah.
You had,
wow, I didn't know
Bill
that.
Bill O'Reilly, which is, like, basically, I don't remember the exact names, but they were all, like, would profess, sure, if you pressed them. They wouldn't ever be like,
say that. But, well, some of them now, what was it, who's that fucking
Shepard
guy?
Smith.
That one, he's a faggot, but I meant the...
Oh, the Jew.
Probably that one,
dad's
too.
Dad's a big Jew. The one whose dad is a huge Jew, and he's like a semi-huge Jew. With the nose. I don't say the Jew with the nose,
I know.
Chris Wallace.
Oh, yeah, him too. Yes, yeah. He came out after this thing. Egg McMuffin. Evan McMuffin.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a...
That guy. But no, of course, but it just goes to show you... Like,
he glows in the dark. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mormon CIA guy, yes. But he, in 2016, when he was trying to... He was essentially trying to... He was running against Trump. He was running against Trump in some ways from the right.
Saying Trump wasn't pro-life, yeah.
Exactly. That was one of his major planks, was like, I'm the real Republican, I'm the real right winger. This Trump is a New York Democrat who was pro-choice until yesterday, which was true.
Yeah.
I'm the pro-life guy, and he's like, this is an attack on our legal system and women's rights, blah, 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 blah. Now, maybe he's just like doing that's where the CIA Mormons are,
yeah,
generally or whatever. But like, it's still interesting to me that a lot of these people who came out of the woodwork to attack were ostensible right wingers who were, so it's just interesting.
It's, yeah, It's really, yeah. It's
like, but makes, that you can't get away with it. He couldn't get away with it, none of these characters can get away with
it. And like, it's the reason like he was always ineffective. You know, they've been trying out there for 6 years now as a thing. They can't.
nobody gives a shit about Edmund Buffett.
No,
yeah.
And also, if you want to talk about like Mormonism and the CIA, I can make a case that it's not the CIA. Mormons doing it; it's the CIA doing it, right?
Oh,
absolutely. The CIA have infiltrated the Mormons, and not the other way around.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no. Well, that I think is clear enough. I mean, yeah. Look at the I don't want to go. We should do Mormonism. I'm very, very strongly anti-Mormon. But we could do an episode
It's Mormons are like the Republican Party in a lot of ways, right? Like it's almost a. It's very a lot of parallels between like, well, leadership is probably in bed with some weird interests that don't like, but the average person is.
Oh yeah, We should save it. I think that would Joseph Smith, American. Maybe we could even get Borzoi on. We'll have to figure that out at some point. But no, he has an interest in this topic. Yeah. Was there anything else? Did we miss something? I don't know if.
I think we kind of covered it. I mean, I don't want to. I avoided intentionally doing like bios of all these guys.
Right.
I just want to point out some are just normal. Like none of them were like there was like a couple priests, a couple criminals, a couple people who were just like
all walks of life.
Yeah. So one thing you didn't see is and this is like true for all violent movements, minus like a couple leaders maybe like your Bin Laden types is you didn't see a lot of like money. Like a lot of not because it was really decentralized, it wasn't like a central command. You didn't really see people like rich white collar people who just like chose to go into it. They generally seemed to be pretty poor. Like the guy,
sure,
he was like a car detailer or something like that. The one from that HBO video, there were a lot of petty criminals. Also, you talked about red paint. They did the poor red paint was a thing. They were doing anthrax scares where they just snail mail
emailing anthrax. Oh
yeah,
no!
Yeah, they really like, take a baby powder to a or flower.
Sure.
Say this is anthrax. The note, and you got to shut down the hole.
Right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Another example.
The guy who did that, he sent like 460 things of flour or whatever. He was literally escaped like a fugitive from justice for some petty crimes.
Sure.
He broke out of jail.
And just did that
and got caught.
Yeah, don't fuck with the that's something I could definitely say. Like
I think he got like 20 years for it.
Fucking with the postal service, you literally like.
Well, he was also like a escape fugitive. Like, sure, point, sure, like, sure, that, sure. If anybody's gonna fuck with the mail,
yeah,
it's gonna be.
Oh man, yeah. Well, it's definitely I think an interesting topic, an interesting cultural phenomenon.
I did have one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a single issue, if you will.
Yes.
A lot of Catholics who were traditionally a kind of a split demographic became conservatives on this issue. A lot of Catholics who wouldn't otherwise be because of they...
Catholic social democrats are thing, is a thing.
It's always been. Yeah. And they've always been like pretty like Huey Long and Clark Coughlin and social justice.
I thought Huey Long was Protestant. I didn't
know. No, but like in the same... like his demographic of people who would join the Share Our Wealth Club. Like, what do you mean, Catholic dog Democrats? I'm sure there's a term for it. But... So this decision is going to unleash them from that, right? Because these are people who are not... They've adopted like some Republican stuff because people adopt beliefs and sets. But they're not capitalists.
Right.
And that's a big deal because you're going to unleash a... Especially if you're doing a populist thing, right? Like you're doing a... and they're religious, so they're not going to...
I'm sure
they can't jump into your weird tranny bullshit. They just can't.
Right. Well, I'm sure part of the impetus, but they part don't, of the they don't fierceness like, of the opposition is like they see exactly, I think, what you're highlighting, which is the potential for this to very quickly diverge into a kind of National Socialist type perspective.
Because they're going to be like, well, I've solved this, especially if you live in... So like someone who lives in Georgia is going to be a pretty strong proponent of this, even because maybe they're even like anti-racist about it, whatever. Once that's done, abortion in Georgia is banned. Abortion in New York is still legal, but they're not going to be flying to New York to protest, right? So, like, you're going to see, you know, a certain like, faction of Republican Party is going to stop being engaged with the Republican Party so much. They're going to be... They're going to join... What is that what Mike called them, or that survey called them? Like, the Americans that aren't represented by anybody?
I'm not sure who you mean.
When we did the division of like, there's like the ideological conservatives, there's the libertarians, there's the like people who are actually Republicans and then people who just kind of align with the Republicans.
I don't know. Yeah, but, well, I get what you're saying. But
there's
like,
because there's just like vague undecided people that are actually like the most racist, the most.
Yeah, right.
You know, because they're not
they're not beholden to Republican Party piety about race.
And and this is who's gonna, and they're gonna, I think, slide into that, and they're gonna become more Catholic and more whatever, especially like the, you know,
anti-Semitic, more anti-Semitic ultimately.
Yeah, ultimately, because like, you know, you're gonna get real into like, you know, banking, and you like, there's a lot of Catholic causes that are really anti-Semitic that aren't abortion, right? Like, let's say like whatever, a 1/100th of all anti-abortion activists in red states, Christian or Catholic, whatever, get into doing like anti-usury stuff,
right?
Like,
that's or anti-pornography.
Yeah, that's a big one. Anti-pornography, anti-usury, like these things will create problems where these people are kind of tied up in this thing, which is like also like we've said, oh, it was like they were kind of like opted to, but it was like a good cause. The reason you can get opted, like guns and abortion are important issues because they're important issues. They're not, they're manufactured and they're manufactured, but it worked because it,
yeah,
because there's a valid thing there, you know. And I think the knock-on effects of this are gonna, you know,
it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens. I mean, obviously, as a legal matter, the overturning of Roe essentially just puts it back to the states, right?
Yes.
But a lot of the states have kind of already.
Yeah. Well, if it's through the civil back door, they might have to do a civil their own civil back door, but they'll just do that, you know.
Right.
Like,
right.
The other thing is that it's going to change the discourse on crime, because you've heard like the Freakonomics, like abortion salt, which is I think bullshit. Because,
well, Steve Saylor claims to have debunked it. I haven't examined it.
But crime rates are irrespective of abortion. Like, look, crime rates have been spiking before Roe v. Wade.
Right.
Is going to be, you know, so, but let's just say this current spike in African crime gets blamed on this, right? If your case is we need to bring back abortion to stop black crime, like,
well, what are the implications of that?
All right, so we're doing apartheid America at a certain point. Like, are we just going to do it? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's always been on the table. And, you know, a certain level of, like, in the everybody's back, everybody's mind in politics is like, well, we could just do the whole apartheid thing and, you know, everybody, you know, even that's what the Jignats arguably want, is they want apartheid America imposing like its will on the Middle East. Was like the Jignat, like what was the like David Cole and those guys, like all those, like,
yeah, Jews don't like blacks. I mean, they don't want them around. They don't want them. They're okay. They're content to use them as a weapon against whites. But
if they'd rather have, like, if it came to them, to Israel or the blacks.
Yeah,
you know, at a certain point, there's going to be like a kosher apartheid America faction with like David, the last Republican David Cole, you know. what a fucking I love that name for a blog for everybody. But that's another.
Is that actually his blog name?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
His column is called The Last Republican.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah. He will be the last Republican. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. Well, I think that just about rounds it. Thank you for listening. We will be trying. I don't know. I need to figure out a way to get some kind of crypto wallet or something if people would like to support us. But we'll let you know at some point. In the meantime, hope everybody is doing well, staying safe, avoiding Fed posts, and taking care of yourselves. Yeah.
It didn't really occur to me to shoot an abortionist myself until it was 8 days prior to the shooting. I was touching up a car on a used car lot, and it hit me that what would happen if I were to shoot an abortionist myself. It was a difficult morning. I had stayed up late the previous night preparing virtually my every move so I could just force myself to go through them. I thought I was going to be full of righteous zeal to carry out the shooting, but I wasn't. My stomach felt like a bottomless pit, you know, and the normal zest and zeal I have in life was just missing. It was very difficult. I'm smiling now about it, but I wasn't smiling then. It was a very grim task. They pulled in past me and parked, and I took about 10 steps to where I had laid my shotgun and pulled it out, and there was a wooden fence that at that point it obscured me from their view, and so I took a quick peek around the side of the fence to see where they were, and I stepped out from behind the fence and raised the shotgun and fired three times. So the first three shots were
almost directly at, they were directly at the driver, and I think he absorbed most of the shot. And then I ran to a tree, and I knelt behind the tree as I had planned and reloaded three rounds in my shotgun, and then raised the gun again. And at that time, the abortionist was rocking his head back and forth. I think he was trying to avoid having his head shot. And as a matter of fact, he succeeded, because my first shot missed, and I lowered my aim, and the second shot hit his body. His body reacted very violently. And then I followed that with three more subsequent shots, and he stopped moving. There's also no question that I hope others will act in ways similar to the way I acted. So yeah, I hope to encourage others to defend the unborn much as I did.
Defendant Paul Jennings Hill is hereby sentenced in count one to death for the murder of Dr. John Baynard Britt. Is hereby sentenced in count two.
When the prosecution first announced they were going to be seeking the death penalty, the heightened threat definitely served to increase my joy. It really did. Because the prospect of possibly dying for having obeyed Jesus Christ and defended innocent children was a wonderful prospect. It continues to be. Actually, I didn't really decide to do it until Monday, prior to my shooting the abortionist on Friday. And it was a very emotional experience, because I was thinking in my mind whether I was going to shoot this abortionist or not. And yet, I kind of felt like I probably would. And we went to Pensacola Beach and got a relatively secluded section of the beach there. And I had three children, a three-year-old, a six-year-old, and a nine-year-old. And there was one portion of our time there at the beach where it was very emotional for me, because I realized I would never be going to the beach like this again with my children. And it was literally all my paternal instincts were stirred there as I was playing with my children and watching them and watching my wife, you know, and walk along the beach. And I took each one of the children one by one out into the surf, you know, over their heads, and I was supporting each one and holding them in the water. And it occurred to me that I was making a sacrifice. You know, it was thinking about the promise made to Abraham that if he was willing to sacrifice his son, that God would grant him descendants as numerous as the sands of the on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And I just laid hold on that promise, you know, the emotions were so powerful, you know, it was difficult to keep tears from coming to my eyes. And I just lifted my heart up and prayed.